Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford talking about the Lions Broncos.
I have strong opinions about people, don't I?
You don't like Tim Tebow either, right?
No.
Too religious? What is it?
he's not too religious.
Good.
But he's too, well, he
too
showcases.
Too sanctimonious, you think.
He showcases that religion too much.
You
unlike
just
Kirk
keep
Cousins.
It to himself.
Kirk Cousins is religious, but he doesn't throw it at people.
Well, he thanks God after games.
I'm not saying that.
What's
but
wrong
I mean
with that?
Tebow goes, I mean, that's all right, but Tebow goes way
evangelical.
Oh yeah.
Well, you probably didn't like Colt McCoy that way either, right?
Yeah, I didn't like Colt McCoy.
All right, let's bring
Still
in
like
our
Colt
first
McCoy.
Guest of the day, our good friend Mick McCabe from the Detroit Free Press, the son of Swami. Hello, Mick, how are you?
I'm fine. How about Bill McCartney?
There you.
Oh, that's a good
promise
one,
Mick. Keepers,
I didn't.
Right?
Yeah, the promise. Boy, that was really going overboard.
There's a Michigan guy.
Yep, Dearborn Divine Child.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a basketball coach at Divine Child too.
Yeah, won the state championship
Ed
there.
Ed Kasparik and
it was almost a coach at Michigan State.
Gary
Forstek and Ed Kasparik.
Yeah, in fact, I remember doing a column that. Michigan State should hire Bill McCartney.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And Judd called me the next morning, and so I can say it on the radio. You know, it was something like, "You idiot, don't you realize that Michigan State can never hire anybody from Michigan when we're struggling to turn around a program?" And I said, "Okay, but he's the guy." And instead they hired Muddy Waters.
The language police. I think that's what Judd was afraid of.
Yes.
He would have had to find a whole new vocabulary. Mick, how many years for you at the Detroit Free Press?
Oh, this is my 41st.
Oh, my word. 41 years.
For such a young man. Started when he was age 8, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so do the math for me. What was your first year? What does that take you
1970.
Back? 70.
Yeah.
Wow.
June 3rd, 1970, so starting my 41st.
Unbelievable. Gary Danielson, did you see him in high school?
Absolutely, yeah. Even though, he was already out of high school.
Yeah, he was at Purdue by then.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. But he was an excellent basketball player.
Really?
He was really, really good basketball player.
Gary Danielson's going to be the featured speaker here next month.
Really?
Oh, that.
For the big sports luncheon.
Yeah, he was
Holman's deal, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, I saw him play when they beat U of D Jesuit in the Catholic League Championship game, and he played defensive back also, and he smacked people. He was truly an excellent defensive player too.
You know, he was a guy who, as a pro, was a pretty decent passer. I mean, he was a serviceable quarterback. You could win if you had enough players around him. He was
a little pitch and catch kind
of
guy.
Tom Brady for you, but you could win with Gary Danielson.
You could,
but
he
actually ran for a lot of yards, and he played in the wishbone system at Purdue.
Yeah, that was a problem because he wasn't that kind of quarterback in Divine Child, and they switched systems on him. And I think he would have been, had they stuck to something like a pro style, he would have been a first-round draft choice.
They did that 1 year, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went back and
went back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had some good games. A couple of 200-yard game.
Hey, Mick, who's the stud team in high school football this year?
Well, there is no, like last year, even though they didn't win the state championship game, Sterling Heights-Stevenson did get to the finals. There's nobody like them this year.
Mm-hmm.
Rockford is maybe the closest, and they've got 7 guys back on offense, and they never have 7 guys back on offense. And so they're going to be our number one team with Dakota, Macomb Dakota, who opens the season Thursday by hosting Muskegon. How about that?
See, I never even, up until a few years ago when they won the state title, I'd never heard of that high school.
Well, you shouldn't have because it's only like this is like the 14th or 15th year of football.
Macomb, Dakota.
Dakota. I mean, it was like, it's like, you know, just like 15 years ago, Rockford all of a sudden bloomed out. All of a sudden, he has power.
Tom said, are they in North Dakota or South Dakota?
And the thing is, though, that, I mean, unlike Rockford, this is a relatively new school. They just didn't even exist until like 14 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But that area in the Detroit area is just exploding. You know, with families moving there and stuff like that. So they had to create another school.
Wow. It's very interesting to see which teams play and schedule early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Holt Rams, Tom?
Yep.
Their schedule is crazy.
Yeah, Mick, you know, they play Rockford. They play Lansing Sexton, and they play another big team.
One other big team, off the top of my head, but it's another power school. They got three
Scott,
of them.
You know, you did the schedule.
Non-conference slate. But, yeah, Holt's pretty good team here in Michigan. But, Mick, how do you compare Lansing with, I mean, I guess here in Greater Lansing, we get tired of this domination on the west side of the state that seems to be in the playoffs. How come they're so good over on the west side, even more so than the Detroit area, it seems like?
It's really simple. It's the communities, okay? Over there, at Rockford, for instance, at the track finals, the superintendent of schools was handing out the championship trophies to the two team winners, okay? Now, their principal was handing out the individual medals because during the meet, the superintendent was one of the timers, okay? And that would never happen over here in the Detroit side, because if the superintendent over here would do that, then he would be viewed as pro-athletics, which they assume means anti-academics. Right. Over there on the west side, it's like, we're pro-athletics and pro-academics, and the entire communities rally around the schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's everything to them is their schools, and that's why these schools' facilities look like palaces.
Right.
Oh, they all got the artificial, and it wouldn't happen, by the way, it would not happen here in Greater Lansing either. I will tell you that, too. Mm-hmm. And I hear about East Kentwood. I saw East Grand Rapids field up close, right on the lakefront, and their facilities.
Oh, how beautiful is that?
That's something on a Disney Channel. You know,
Peter Sturzman is the coach there.
Yes,
and he's the deal. I mean, they've won four state championships in a row, and I know he had Grady early on, but I mean, he's doing it kind of like with smoke and mirrors a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's a terrific coach. And again, there, they have, when their girls' team was leaving to go to the state finals for cross country, it was a football team that formed the tunnel for them to run through, to walk through to get to the bus.
That's great. That's good stuff. I wish that was rampant everywhere.
Yep.
What about other teams that we can look at and say, if they're not going to be a totally dominant team, we would not be at all surprised to see them in Ford Field?
Holt is going to be very good. Al Slammer's a great coach.
Yeah. Now they lost some key guys last year, but are you just banking on the depth from that junior class, now seniors?
Well, yeah, and you know, Kenny Rogers is a really good player. And they're going to be able to run the ball, and you know, they'll throw it a little bit at, you know, I mean, their quarterback has to come through for them. Okay, and Mike Smith is a really good linebacker, and you know, this is Al's third year there, I believe,
right?
And he's got it rolling, and I know the second game, I think they open with Sexton, and then they play Rockford,
and they do play Pioneer, I think, the last game of the year.
Yeah, so you're playing big schools with 2,800 kids in them.
Well, that's, you know, the way it should be. I mean, they've got what, 1,900?
Yeah,
kids.
Holt's a big school, and yeah, beautiful campus. They got the whole bit going on.
And Pioneer is not what Pioneer was.
That's true.
Okay.
You know, back...
With Skyline now take some of their athletes.
Is Pioneer the largest school in the state in terms of enrollment?
They were at one point, and then now Skyline's kind of... Okay.
Well, it was... Stevenson, I think, is the biggest high school right now.
Sterling Heights Stevenson?
Yeah, I think they're 27, 28, mm-hmm. somewhere along. But Traverse City High School used to be the mega one before they split that one.
Right, and that's what Jim Uli never wanted.
That's right.
He never wanted to break that school up into two, and when they did, you know, it was never the same again. But I mean, the school was too huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to do that. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Mick McCabe,
Utica Eisenhower is the biggest school in the state.
Oh, Utica Eisenhower,
and Sterling Heights Stevenson second.
All right, perhaps a guru for the Detroit Free Press. What about individually? I know that we like to talk about the teams at this time of year, but in terms of players who are must-see for fans, a lot of people have looked at some of the linebackers around the state, and The Anthony Arnett seems to be a player that's attracting a lot of attention as well from Saginaw.
Yeah, the receiver. And he's very talented. Lawrence Thomas, the linebacker from Renaissance, who's already committed to Michigan State. I believe he's the only five-star recruit in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
And he's very, very good. But Arnett, really a thrill maker kind of wide receiver at Saginaw.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go like Anthony Zettel from West Branch, an offensive defensive tackle. And then Justice Hayes, the running back from Grand Blanc.
Right.
He's going to Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's going to Notre Dame.
Hey, Mick, is D'Antonio getting an edge on Michigan and the whole Rich Rod thing and recruiting now? Is that legitimate now that he's got the stronghold or not?
No. He definitely did last year. I mean, he really cleaned up last year. And Michigan has made a bit of a comeback this year. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as one-sided as it was a year ago. But they're still doing better in the city of Detroit than Michigan is.
It's interesting you say that, Mick, because I had a chance to have lunch with Tom Mack last year.
Catholic Central.
Yeah. And I said, you know, why is it that Michigan State is suddenly making some inroads? And he said, to be honest with you, this coaching staff came in with a totally different attitude from the first, I believe, All-State banquet when Mark D'Antonio got up and said, hey, we're going to be a presence, you remember this, in the state of Michigan. In the past, Michigan State went meekly, put its tail between its legs, and didn't really try to recruit down there.
Right, and you can't underestimate Dan Enos' contribution to recruiting. Guys really loved him, and I think that'll pay off at Central Michigan.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mark did say, this is it. This is our recruiting base. And before, when Lloyd Carr was there, I mean, Michigan State had no chance.
Right.
I mean, he was, you know, Kira Sedgwick plays the closer on TV, but Lloyd Carr was the closer.
Yeah. I mean, he had it locked down, didn't he?
But you know,
nobody was better in the home than him.
Back to Dan Enos, I mean, this is really going to be interesting with his recruiting prowess and the great product that he's going to maintain at Central. Mm-hmm. How much legitimate competition he's going to actually be for Michigan and Michigan State?
Well, he can't do that. Remember Dick Parfitt used to be the basketball coach
at Central, right?
And Dave Ginsburg was his assistant, and there was nobody in the state better at identifying kids early as Ginsburg. And now this is basketball, which of course is different, but because they were the first ones in there, these people, Glenn Rice, would keep them in my Final Five forever, and they would waste so much time on those kids, and then they go someplace else.
And they get
else.
Burned at the end.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a niche market, then you're saying maybe just a little step down tier below.
Right, or a kid that nobody knows about.
Right.
And you get them to make an early commitment to you, and then they have a blow-up senior year, and people are saying, why in the world is he going? Or, bringing up Tom Mack, during the state playoffs last year, he calls Iowa and says, I got a linebacker for you. He's really good. And they said, great. He's a junior, right? And they said, no, he's a senior. They said, sorry, we're full. So where does that linebacker go? Central Michigan.
There you go.
Yep, who's a kid who just has a great senior year because these college coaches, you wonder why college coaches are getting fired. This is why. They offer scholarships to kids based on what they do at these combines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they're, oh my, what a great 40 time.
Right.
The vertical leap and then their time in the shuttle. Oh my God, this guy must be a stud.
And those 40 times are not even electronically timed.
Right. Well, some of them are, depending on the combine. But the thing is, you know, you put pads on them, and there's football speed and there's track speed.
Right.
And you put pads on them, and they're not nearly as good as some of the other guys who were slower when they got pads on. And then they can't take a hit, and they don't know how to hit. But we've already offered this stiff a scholarship.
I think it's very difficult based on times and watching someone without pads to project how they're going to be at age 22.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a kid at Michigan, and after he got a commitment, I asked Lloyd, I said, what in the world did you take this kid for? He says, well, he came to our camp, and oh my God, he was fabulous. And we said, we want to watch it in his senior year. But then we realized, hey, if he go when he goes to Ohio State and when he goes to Michigan State and he does the same stuff there, they're not letting him out without a commitment. Mm-hmm. So we called him back and we offered him a scholarship and he accepted. And the kid's, you know, is a fourth year guy who still hasn't played yet. And this happens all the time.
Mick, I have to ask you one more quick question before we let you go. And this came up the other day, and I said, I'm not the guy to answer this question, but Mick McCabe is. And they were making a point of a guy they thought was the greatest high school football player they had seen in the state of Michigan, a period of about 30 years. Going back 40 years, one player who stands out to you, not in terms of pro potential or what he did later on, but the greatest high school football player. And then I'll tell you who the person said was the greatest that they'd ever seen.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, Danielson, Tyrone Wheatley.
That was who it was. They said Tyrone Wheatley was the greatest high school football player in the history of the state of Michigan.
And one thing, I got I did a column a couple weeks ago because Ron English basically said, you know, single moms, you know, it was just the most dumbest thing, you know, that you have to realize kids being raised by single moms all the time, they have to be taught how to be taught by men. Which means what he was inferring was he wasn't going to recruit kids from single families with single moms. And I got an email from Tyrone saying, I was raised by my aunts, my grandmother, and my mom. But, yeah, Tyrone was just – and, you know, his senior year started, he was a quarterback.
Is that right?
I didn't know
that. And the coach says, well, I'm just going to – this is a true story. He says, I want him to have the ball every time. Well, the game that they lost during the regular season he switched him back to tailback, and he never moved him back. So when they're getting ready to play for the finals, I said, what made you change him back to tailback? And he says, well, in that game that we lost, in the story you said that I made a great move by moving him back to tailback, and I thought, you know, that was a great move. I'm keeping him there.
Well, T.J. Duckett.
It all
was
comes back to Mick.
Duckett, T.J. Duckett, didn't
exactly.
He played quarterback.
Another one, high school quarterback. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Mick, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again during the year.
I hope so.
All right. Mick McCabe of the Detroit Free Press, our guest. A reminder, you can listen to segments at 1320wils.com. You can listen to podcasts or listen live. We'll be right back on the Jack and Tom Show.